Being a ministry wife is a vocation without a job description. And let's be honest, sometimes it seems like ministry might be easier if we did have one. If you are a ministry wife like me and are looking for hope, perspective, and a little bit of practical advice regarding your role, you're in the right place. Hi, I'm Christine Hoover, author of How to Thrive as a Pastor's Wife. Welcome to the Ministry Wives Podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. Join me as we hear from women from various ministry contexts, having authentic conversations about our shared joys and challenges, even the ones we're unsure we can talk about. No topic is off limits. Today, my guest is Kimberly McGibbon. Kimberly currently serves as the ministry director of the Toronto Send Relief Center, which she sees as the perfect fit for her heart to compassionately serve those on the margins and her strengths of entrepreneurship and leadership. Kimberly has previously served as a wives champion for both Send Toronto and the Canadian National Baptist Convention and has been a church planner's wife for over 20 years. She is married to Jason McGibbon, who is the lead pastor of the Hamilton Fellowship, the most recent of their three church plants, and she is mom to four adult children. I asked Kimberly to come on today to be our representative to talk about ministry after COVID. We have all been affected by COVID in various ways, and Kimberly shares some of those ways she's experienced life after COVID, ministry after COVID, and things that she's learned along the way that she's thankful for to bring into this new season of ministry. So here, friends, is my conversation with Kimberly McGibbon. I'm excited to welcome Kimberly McGibbon to the Ministry Wives Podcast. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi. It's so great to be here. It's been a long time since we've seen each other.
Yes, I've actually gotten to meet you in person. I got to come to your neck of the woods. You live right outside of Toronto.
Yes.
And I got to be a part of, I think it was a Send Network.
Yeah, like it was a SPES event.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So women from all over the area. One thing I had learned about Toronto when I came is how diverse that area is.
Yeah, it's really quite diverse. Like just in the last census that came out, there is in the greater Toronto Hamilton area, like I'm from Hamilton, there are over 200 languages spoken at home besides English.
Wow.
Yeah, and the language most spoken in our area of Hamilton outside of English at home is Arabic.
Wow.
And then Spanish right really close behind it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. Like our public schools have, 40 to 50 or more languages spoken in them. Yeah. It's a really neat place to be. It's a great place for food. Like we have everything.
Yes. Yeah. I loved being there. I loved the ladies I got to meet. I love getting to know you.
Yes.
And so I'd love for you to, we just started jumping around into Toronto, but can you introduce you and your family, your ministry context?
Yeah. So, I've been a church planter's wife for, I was like, oh my, it's been quite a while. So like over 20 years. So my husband, I've helped him plant like three churches. And so in this area.
Okay.
Yeah. So the first one we were involved in was a suburb of Toronto. And we came to that one quite early on. I think I was at their first preview service. I was the scout. And very quickly God just kind of grabbed our hearts for what they were doing. And so we became really plugged in there. And then we went and planted a church out of that church in another suburb. And then from there, that church sent us here to plant in Hamilton, which I now call home. So, and now we help church planters and are sending church for other church planters. It's been a fun, God's done some really crazy things. And so it's been really fun. I love it.
Well, I would love to talk to you about, we're going to talk today about COVID and ministry life after COVID. And I am excited to have you specifically speak to this because of the Canadian experience of COVID. So you guys, tell us about how that was for you and your church when all the restrictions came in.
Yeah, like I think our experience was quite different from the U.S. because our lockdowns were quite different. So we had three separate lockdowns, like full lockdowns where you really didn't go anywhere. We were allowed, at some points, we were allowed less than five people in your house, you know, you weren't allowed anybody barely other than family. Mm-hmm. Most of our churches here in this area don't own a building. So I think we only own two or something in all of the churches that we have. So that meant that nobody had access to any of their buildings or anything like that. You couldn't go there to do, because everything was shut down. So you couldn't go there to do, like to stream your service from where you usually met. You had to, so many of our wives became like, and you couldn't have anybody else in your house. So we became like tech gurus overnight. Like we did not know what we're, well, I'm sure some wives did, but I had no idea what I was doing. And there we are. We're the ones running the live stream, you know, and our husband is preaching. And I kept, you know, I remember praying before every service, like, please, please, Lord Jesus, do not let me mess this up.
Yeah. Yes.
So, so we just last spring, so not the spring that just passed, but the spring before, and in 2022, that's when we really got rid of our last restrictions.
For the whole country.
For the whole, yeah. So, yeah. So in Ontario, at least, like different provinces did different times, but pretty much there was restrictions across the country until about then. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just a disclaimer before we continue, we know listeners have had a wild variance in experience with, depending on where you live, the kind of restrictions that were in place. So where we lived at the time, Charlottesville, Virginia, we had very similar as what you just described. It wasn't until spring of 2022 that some of our restrictions were lifted in terms of we were meeting in a school and the school required us to wear masks in service. And so we had to go along with some of the restrictions that we were kind of ready to be done with by that point.
Yeah.
Not just kind of, but we know that some people listening, they might not have felt any of these challenges, but we really are probably speaking more to the people who did face experience. Because there were so many challenges that came up, and I would say it kind of came in waves. I don't know how you felt.
Yeah.
It was like
the first challenges. Yeah, I remember, you know, at the beginning there was that word like, okay, you just have to pivot. I came to really, really not like that word because I remember thinking like, we cannot pivot one more time. I'm done with pivoting.
Yes.
You know, and I'm somebody who really, I don't mind change and stuff, but there was just, you know, you just feel like you would start to get things going again, or maybe you could invite, you know, somebody to church and then another lockdown would happen. And so, mm-hmm. you know, to have, like in our case, we lost the place that we used to meet in. It closed. And so it didn't make it through COVID. So then we had to, in COVID, find another place.
Oh my.
Meet, you know, where you weren't allowed to. Yeah. And during all the restrictions and stuff. And then also, you know, for people that rent in order to have their church, like they would understand this. You really have to build a relationship with the people that you're renting from. And it's hard to do that when there's so many restrictions and they don't know you and you don't know them. And, you know, so it was a challenging time for sure.
Yeah. Well, what happened for us is COVID really revealed, I would say, I think of it as like a little crack in the ground or the wall, and COVID just kind of split those cracks open wide. You know, whatever was already there, whether it was some things in the church or something in my own heart, it really revealed a lot. Mm-hmm. Did you have a similar experience?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I think about our ministry, like in our ministry, I think it really stripped everything away.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not necessarily a bad thing, you know, always, you know, I think at the end of the day, we realized like Jesus is still Lord, you know, no matter all the challenges, or you can't invite this person, or you have to check for COVID, like for vaccination certificates, which, you know, was, you know, really difficult. It's hard to invite somebody and then, you know, on this divisive issue, like you're having to say, but you can only come if you have a vaccine. Like it, that part was really hard.
Oh,
you
know?
Yeah.
That, we didn't have that. So that's a whole nother thing. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's talk about the one of the things that we've seen is this divisiveness that has come up. And it infiltrated the church. I mean, there was so much division within the church and over different things, not even COVID, but at least in the States, a lot of the racial issues that came up during that same period of time. And there was just the political stuff in the States was really at the same time. So I'm wondering, could you speak to some of that division? And I when I say that, speak to, I know that you're just giving words to what people already have experienced, but I'd love for you to just give words to that of what you experienced.
Yeah, I think it was difficult because it was always the elephant in the room. Like you wanted to talk to people about Jesus, but there was also this huge elephant that was just looming, you know, to the side of you or behind you, like, and the more you tried to, if you tried to ignore it, you just couldn't. Right. But it was so divisive for so many people and everybody had a different opinion. And it was hard to, I think, talk to people about, can we just put that to the side?
Yeah.
Right. Like, can we just focus on Jesus right now? You know, and I think, you know, when you were talking about that, it showed cracks. I think it showed us a lot. I think there was a quote by Timothy Keller. I don't know if he was talking about this, but I remember thinking at the time, like, wow, that's what it reminds me of, is that he said that we, if we're really honest with ourselves, that we would prefer Jesus to be a consultant rather than our king. And I think that was one of the biggest things for me, that was hard for me. Not that, like, because friendships were, you know, strained and all that kind of things. And people I'd been friends with who, you know, who were Jesus followers and, you know, that we just had differences of opinion of how to follow him during that time.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so that was really hard, and to just keep myself focused on, like, okay, am I doing what Jesus has called me to do?
Yeah.
Right. What's my calling? What do I know? Like I know that Jesus has called me to do that. I'm going to stand and account for one day. Right.
Yes.
And so, and it's different for different people. Right. So, but you have to be sort of true to that for yourself, I think.
Yeah.
You know,
it really did draw a line in the sand for us all, I think, to think about why do we do what we do?
Yeah.
And how are we going to respond to the uncertainty? And that brings me to thinking about my own self and what it showed me about myself. It showed me some things about where I was putting my identity or maybe even expectations that I had that were suddenly stripped away of what life would look like. And so I'm wondering for you what those things were that God showed you.
Well, I think the biggest one for me personally was that when everything stopped, you know, and there just wasn't the running around that you usually do, that was just like, for me, I was like, I did not know what to do with myself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so I realized that I was really, that had become part of my identity, the busyness of ministry, the busyness of, you know, helping my husband or, you know, our kids, like making sure, you know, that they were doing okay or making sure that they got to whatever they got to, you know, launching them well, all those kinds of things. And my identity as like a mom and a wife, all those things I realized had really crept in. And I wasn't seeing myself as seeing my identity coming out of the overflow of my relationship with Jesus, mm-hmm. right? And so that for me was the biggest thing and the thing that I'm most aware of now, post-COVID, mm-hmm. you know? Because it's very easy to slip back into that, to yes. the busy. There's so many needs and so many things that require your time and attention, you know, and relationships and all those kinds of things. And it's not that any of them are bad. It's that Jesus needs to be number one at all times.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And those other ones have to come up out of the overflow of what our relationship is with uh-huh. him.
Yeah. You're kind of speaking to the opportunities that I think God allowed. He used that, at least in my own life. He allowed me to see that in a way I would never have seen it otherwise. And it's made me do things a little bit different. You know, coming out of it, it's changed how we do things and how mm-hmm. we approach things. And some of that personally, some of in our marriage, some with church. So I'd love to kind of move to, okay, we're coming out of COVID. How has ministry life changed for you and your husband based upon the pandemic?
Yeah, I think coming out of COVID, we really, we're trying to keep the main thing, right? We realize that like everything that we do, like every person that we work with, or like it's all about discipleship, right? So, you know, whether we have mission teams that are coming in, and with those mission teams, we're serving our city. It's discipleship on both ends. Like it's discipleship with the mission team, right? And it's discipleship of ourselves. And it's, you know, discipling those people that we get to meet, that we engage with in the city. Mm-hmm. We often talk about like being the welcomer, but then also having the humility to be the welcomed.
Mm. I like that.
Right? Because I think we're really good. Lots of us are really good in churches, and especially pastors' wives.
Yes.
Are very good at being the welcomer. Really yeah. good at being the welcomer. You know, we look for the person that's on the fringes, you know, that maybe, you know, needs to be brought in. Yeah, that's kind of our thing. Like we, right? We bring things to our husband's attention that, you know, he's so busy he might not see, right? That kind of, but we often don't want to have the humility to be really welcomed.
So what do you mean by being welcomed?
Yeah, I think as pastors' wives, we're really, really good at being the welcomer, right? We want to make sure everybody's welcome to our churches, welcomed in our homes when, you know, we're doing hospitality, and we're really good at that. And we're not so used to being the one that gets welcomed in, right? And so, I think that, I think isolation is deadly. So I think COVID really increased that a lot for pastors' wives. And so I think we have to have the humility to phone a friend. Like we need to phone another pastor's wife and say, hey, like, you know, I need help. I need to go and meet for coffee. I need my quiet time is not very good right now. Like I think we spend a lot of time sometimes not being super, super honest.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The hardest place to be honest is in a room full of pastors' wives.
That's right.
And what? So, what is that?
I don't know, but we need to be, because that is the place that we should be really honest.
I know.
Right.
And because we know, we each know what it's like, but I always struggled in those spaces. I don't feel like that's a problem anymore for me.
Yeah.
But I struggled in those spaces because I would think everybody else knows what they're doing except for me.
That's right. But everybody thinks that. Everybody right. thinks everybody else knows what they're doing except for me. You know, that person has like 6 kids and they homeschool them and they play, you know, piano on Sunday, and they do all these things, and they run the children's program, and like, and all their laundry is done. Like, no, that doesn't happen. Like, you know, everybody has days where the laundry is not done. It doesn't get folded, where, you know, where people in your house are saying, you know, is there anything to eat in here? And you like wondering the same thing yourself and wondering, like, when is the adult going to show up and take care of things around here, right?
Yeah.
So I think we just, everybody has those days, you know. And when we start to really be honest with one another and talk to one another, you find out that everybody's got those days. And so we need to be really honest about that there's seasons where we just need to be the welcomed. Right?
I like that a lot.
Yeah.
You guys have a lot of contact with church planters, wives there in the Toronto area.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering what the wives are saying as they're still, I still think we're experiencing kind of the wave, the final waves of COVID and its effects. And so I'm wondering what they're saying of life and ministry after COVID. What are they still wrestling through?
Yeah, I think, 80% of our church planters are non-Anglo or non-Francophone. And so that, which means that they were born usually outside of North America. And so they've all come from somewhere else. And a lot of them, some of them will have family here, but a lot of them don't have family here. And so I think that wives, I mean, that was hard, I think, for a lot of people who, for pastors' wives who don't have family close by, COVID was hard, you know? And so some are still hurting from those people that left, you know, people that you called friends, people that you had poured into and freely, you know, given your heart to, had given access to your family, to your kids, like all those kinds of things. And, you know, I think wives are tired still. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's exactly. Oh, those two things. We got to talk about those. Let's start with the friendship thing, because I think everyone experienced it.
Yeah.
That someone they never thought would leave. And sometimes they left because of the decisions around COVID.
Yeah.
So can you speak to that? What would you say to women listening who are still mourning the loss of a relationship because of the things surrounding COVID?
I mean, that happened to me. And I think it's in the past 20 years, it's happened lots of times, you know, that people have left for different reasons, and some of them have really hurt. Mm-hmm. And it is hard to still keep living open-handed, you know. But I think we have to go to Jesus with those things, you know. He above everybody else knows what it's like to have people leave you in the middle of a very terrible time. Like, people, his friends left him at the cross, right? You know, Peter denied him. Like, if anyone is going to understand, it's going to be Jesus.
Yes.
And I think we really have to work hard to, like, lay those things with him, right? And really dig into, so why is it that I keep picking it back up? Why is it that it still hurts so much? You know, why is part of the, let yourself grieve. Like, sometimes we just move on. We just try, well, I can't think about that, and I just need to move on. And next Sunday, I just need to be the happy, you know, pastor's wife that's welcoming everyone again and, you know, pretending like nothing's wrong. But I think we need to allow ourselves, maybe we don't have to do it publicly, but we need to allow ourselves to grieve.
Yeah.
And we need to, you know, have Jesus in the middle of that. I mean, that's why he came, really. Mm-hmm. Like, that's, we've talked a lot here in the Toronto area, and kind of made Isaiah 61 1 to 4 kind of just like our real focus for us. I mean, Jesus quoted that Isaiah 61 passage when he started his ministry. So he says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me. You know, the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, right? And he talks about binding up the brokenhearted, setting captives free, you know, giving those the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Like, that's for us as well as, you know, as the people that we've come to tell about Jesus, you know. That is the good news. Like, that right there, you know, that's Jesus came for us, right? Mm-hmm. To do all those things. And so I think, yeah, I think I need to every day be sort of preaching that to myself.
Yes. Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Well, another area is exhaustion. I do think yes. that what we experienced was, it was so much work just to keep the church going during yeah. making decisions. And, you know, it wasn't really me making decisions, but supporting my husband. He's making, constantly having to change what we're doing and according to what we can. And so by the end of it all, he was exhausted. And then you're like, now we got to ramp up and kind of get back to normal. And that was really, really challenging.
Yeah.
So can you speak to that? Because I know there's probably people still out there that are just exhausted from keeping things together.
Yeah. I mean, I think we need to be honest about that when we're exhausted. And I think we need to rest when we need to rest. And we need to really know that Jesus is the one that's in charge of the mm-hmm. church. Like, he's the one that's going to build the church. You know, we really are just supposed to be obedient to what he's asking us to do for that day. Like, so every day, I remember, you know, coming out of it, just thinking like, I don't even want to go out of my house. Like, I don't want to see people, you know, because we were just tired yes. and things were starting to ramp up and people were inviting you to things. And I'm thinking, oh, I just.
Not quite ready for that yet.
Yeah. And yet part of me was like, I missed it all.
Yeah.
And I wanted things to go back to normal, you know, mm-hmm. that
quote unquote,
yes. quote unquote normal. But I was also so tired.
Yeah.
Right. And, so just, I think again, it's that we need to have other pastors' wives that we're talking to, that we can be really like, it doesn't have to be everybody, but you need one or two that you can really be honest with.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a part of, for me, the COVID really revealed some really just great, God has just provided me with some really amazing women mm-hmm. in my life that that I can count on. And the same when I was talking to my husband, Jason, like same for him. Like
just, that's great.
Yeah. Just some people that we can be really honest with. Like, we're really tired, you know, mm-hmm. or... you know, we can't do that this weekend.
Yeah.
And I think that's okay to say, mm-hmm. yeah, the church isn't going to fall apart because you didn't attend one event or, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, that's yeah. good. You mentioned too, I mean, I think you're speaking to, there are good things that came out.
Yeah.
There are really good things that came out if we have eyes to see.
Yeah.
And, you know, we might have lost people. And we mourn that. Mm-hmm. But in some ways, I think God gave me an eye to see the harvest is plenty, right? Yeah. And so I'm wondering for you what opportunities that you've seen that have come mm-hmm. through COVID and that you would say, hey, church, Big C Church, look, there's right. the harvest is ready.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things for me, like here in Canada, and you know, I can only speak to like here, but we have seen a huge increase in the amount of people coming to our city.
Mm.
And so That is amazing. People from all over the world are coming here. And that is an incredible opportunity that I can only think that is God ordained, that he's bringing us people that we can, and other Christians from other countries that we can learn from, you know, so that my Christianity isn't so Canadian focused, right? I learned so much from my brothers and sisters that are from Venezuela and Mexico and Colombia, like just the way that they worship, the way that they talk about church family is quite different. We're very individualistic, right? And they are very like family culture. It's huge for them, right? And I love when we get together and they talk about family, familia, you know, and there's just so many things that we can learn from one another. I think that's a huge opportunity. There's a huge opportunity that there's people that are, that aren't in the church that are discontent. They're looking. COVID's made them question, like, what's made us question things. The COVID has made them question things that, you know, haven't gone to church. And so I think it's a great opportunity for us to engage our city, you know, and when we're serving our city, there's always two groups of people. And we talk about this all the time with our church, is that there's the people that we're actually serving in that moment, but there are people on the periphery that are watching us serve and how we serve and what we're doing for the city. Right? And they, I've often had really great gospel conversations with those people that are on the outside that are watching and asking questions like, why are you doing this? You know, and so to be able to witness to them about what Jesus is calling us to do, it's an incredible thing because he's already working in them, getting them to question about, they know that, you know, our city, like for our city has a, we declared a state of emergency on homelessness, on opioid addiction, and on mental health.
Wow.
So they know we have a problem.
Yeah.
Right? It's everywhere. You can see it everywhere. So they just don't know what the answer is. But we have hope that we can bring people. Right? And so they're watching to see how we're serving the city.
Yeah.
And I think it's an incredible witnessing opportunity that we have moving forward.
Yeah, it makes me think of, there are losses behind us, and those years were hard years.
Yeah.
But if anything, they refined us, they refined our faith, they refined our focus in ministry. And if we have eyes to see it, there are a whole lot of opportunities before us. And we may be doing it a little bit differently than we were doing it before, but maybe that's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, well, do you have any last encouragements for women who are, maybe they still are feeling a little discouragement, or there's some sadness that has lingered because of things that they experienced in COVID? What would you leave them with?
I mean, Jesus is good. He's so good. And if you're tired and you're having trouble like pushing through the fog, like sometimes it can feel like a bit of a fog that you're in, you know, if you can just really remember that Jesus is good. Try to go back to your calling of when you knew, like you knew that Jesus was calling you to support your husband in planting a church, whatever ministry it is that he's calling you to. Because there's that moment when you know, it's like that moment of decision of, you're either going to be obedient to what God has called you to, or you're going to know that you're disobedient, right? And so that's, for me, that was a moment of like, I think, joy of knowing that, but also like, ooh, I have a decision to make, right? And so I think there is joy in knowing your calling, right? That Jesus is, calls each of us to something. And so if you know what he's calling you to, there's freedom in that. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. And he's good. Yeah.
That's great. That's a good word to leave us with. Thank you so much, Kimberly, for sharing your experience and your wisdom.
Thank you. It was great to chat with you again.
Thanks so much for listening to the Ministry Wives podcast, a production of the North American Mission Board. If you found this content helpful, please subscribe, rate, and review us on your podcast platform or share it with a friend. You can find this podcast and other helpful resources at ministrywivespodcast.com.